Citibank has spent millions of dollars and lots of creative energy to convince us that there would be nothing worse in our life than to have our financial identity stolen. But the Apostle Paul has spent three chapters of his letter to the church at Ephesus to convince us that there is something worse. And that something worse is that our personal identity in Jesus Christ could be stolen. You know, this morning we've talked for two chapters, four sermons about this identity we have in Jesus Christ as individuals and as a church body. The question this morning is how does that identity lead to life change? How does that affect the way we live and who we are? This morning I would just like to say to us that I think identity shifts lead to life change. One of the greatest identity shifts that I've had in recent years has becoming a dad. And this was kind of brought home to me about a month ago. Our 2.5-year-old son, Cade, from time to time, not normally, but time to time, he'll get up in the middle of the night and come get us up and say that he can't sleep for whatever reason. So about a month ago, it's about 2:30 in the morning and we're sleeping and I feel this little hand tap on my arm. You know, and I know what that means, that Cade's out of bed. And so I look over and, you know, it's just pitch black in our room. And normally kind of the routine is that I'll grab him, pick him up, and kind of hold him there for a minute if he's upset or scared or whatever. And I'll hold him in the bed with him. So that night I'm not even really awake. And I lean over and grab Cade and I put him on top of me. And I notice that he's wet. Y'all know where the story's going already? And I said, Cade, you're wet. And in his sweet 2.5-year-old voice, he said, yes. And I said, Cade, why are you wet? And in that sweet 2.5-year-old voice, he said, I threw up. Okay, we can deal with this. We get out of bed. We clean up the sheets, get his bed all fixed up, get him ready to go back to bed. He's okay. Calm him down. We get everything. He's good to go. Well, about an hour later, I feel this little tap on my arm, and I look over, and you know, of course, now I've wisened up a little bit, so I reach over and I pat him down. He's dry, but he's not moving and he's not talking to me. He's just standing there staring at me. Cade, are you okay? And you know, if you're a parent, you've seen that look like, no, I'm not okay, and he begins to kind of shake. And for some reason, and this is the part I can't understand, for some reason, this just kicked in my inner person. I stuck my hands out to grab whatever he was about to do. Now, I assure you, if I am walking down the hallway at HEB down the street here, and I see some child that I've never met start to do that motion, my hands are not going out. Right? Something about my identity shift to being a dad has changed the way I live. I mean, I would never think, if you had caught me 5 years ago and said, hey, would you do something like that? No way, that's gross. But for some reason, being a dad has changed all of that. And Paul is saying there is a greater reality, and that is your identity in Jesus Christ. And when we find our identity in Jesus Christ, everything in life changes. See, we as a church have as our purpose statement that we would reach people with the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. Now, for many of us, I know if you're anything like me, you wonder some days, am I experiencing that life change? I mean, I'm still struggling with some of the same things I struggled with years ago. I don't seem to be making a whole lot of progress in my life change. And Paul would say for three chapters of Ephesians that the central reality of life change is where your identity is found. And if we have identity found anywhere beyond Jesus Christ, we will struggle to live like Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, Paul begins to talk about how this identity shift in his life has changed him radically. And so this morning, I want us to open up our Bibles to Ephesians 3. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of Ephesians 3. As Paul starts this prayer for the Ephesian church, but then he kind of takes this parenthetical thought, as only Paul can do, and spends one sentence in the Greek, which is 12 verses in the English, to talk about how I, Paul, personally have experienced this life change. And we want to look this morning at Paul's life-changing experience and how our lives are radically changed when our identity is found in Jesus Christ. This morning, here's my prayer for us, that each and every one of you, and myself included, that we would know our position in Jesus Christ, and that our position would change the way we live. Let's get into the book. Paul writes, and just in my own language, he says, "Dear friends in Christ," and on your outline there, if you'll follow along with me, he says, "Hopefully you now understand your new individual and corporate identity in Jesus Christ." We've spent two chapters, I think Paul would summarize at this point, and he'd say, "I hope you understand your new individual and corporate identity in Jesus Christ." Chapter 1, just to review quickly, he talks about the fact that this identity is changed because of God's eternal plan, that God decided before the foundation of the world that he was going to do this work throughout the world and in our lives. And then in chapter 2, what Denny took us through, chapter 2, both halves of chapter 2, the beginning about this new individual identity, that by grace, what God has done in our life has changed who we are as individuals in Jesus Christ. But the second half, that he's created this new corporate body, that we as a group of people not only have individual new identities, but we have a new corporate identity. That we, when we come together, we find our identity in Jesus Christ. And that makes one new person from when there used to be many different people. The point here is this. Paul says, "I hope that you understand what I've already said to you, because the foundation that I've laid individually and corporately is going to help you," when he starts in chapters 3 through 6, to talk about specifically what it looks like to live it out. It's one thing for us to say that we understand what Paul is saying, but it is a separate thing entirely to say that we believe it, it's a conviction of our heart, and that it changes the way we live. Start reading together in Ephesians 3, verse 1. Paul says, "For this reason," what reason? The reason I just laid out, this new identity you have in Jesus Christ. "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles." And then here begins the parenthetical thought about himself. "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific," Paul says, "what this mystery is, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Paul says, "Let me share first how my life's been changed by this." And he says this, "My new position in Christ has transformed my purpose for life, keeping me from the danger of misguided objectives." You see, Paul had radically been transformed when God revealed the identity of Jesus Christ to him. We don't have time this morning, but if you were to go back and you're looking in your Bibles in Acts chapter 8, you would read the story of how Paul, at that time known as Saul, was persecuting the church, was throwing Christians in jail, was trying to destroy the church because he hated the message of Jesus. You see, in Galatians 1, Paul tells the story about what he used to do in his former life. He says, "I was excelling in the ways of Judaism." He says, "I was learning the law. I was the greatest among those students who were learning to be able to respond and reply with the law, and I was able to tell everyone what the law was. My whole identity was found in being this Jewish leader." And he says, but one day in Acts chapter 9, he had this decree to go and to persecute the church in Damascus. And on the road, he meets the living Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that experience, Paul's identity is changed. Where he found his identity before in the rules and the laws of Judaism, keeping those laws and being able to quote them, his identity had suddenly been shifted. And he now realized that Jesus Christ was alive, that he was real, that he had a claim on Paul's life. Well, what happens when you meet the living Savior and your identity is changed? Well, Paul says he has a new purpose in life. Doesn't he? He said, I used to live for one thing. My purpose in life was to excel in Judaism. My purpose in life was to persecute the church. And all of a sudden, Paul now says his purpose in life is to reveal the mystery of the gospel. Well, what does that mean in Paul's life? This stewardship that he has of the grace of God. His life has radically been changed. Has your life, have you experienced this identity shift? For me, it came when I was a junior in high school. Now, I wasn't really throwing Christians in jail or anything, but I was living for myself. I was pursuing my own goals. I was hoping that I could excel in my academic career and music career and all these things I wanted to do for me. One day when I was a junior in high school, my wife invited me to go to a 6:15 Bible study. And I thought she was kind of cute, and you know, I can hang with the Bible study stuff. And so I went. The youth pastor talked about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And suddenly I realized that there is something missing in my life that he had that I didn't have. And my identity changed as I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now I can promise you, if you go back and talk to Keith Ferguson 11 years ago, junior in high school, and you tell him that, Keith, you're going to be planting a church when you're 27, 28, I would have said you're crazy. See, my identity is not found in those things at that point in my life. But my identity has been changed because I've met Jesus Christ and has changed my purpose. If your central identity is found in anything besides Jesus Christ, your objective in life will be misguided. You'll be trying to pursue things that lack eternal value because your identity is wrapped up in something besides Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't an individual struggle. It's also a corporate struggle. If we as a church community find our identity outside of Jesus Christ, then we'll struggle with what we're supposed to do, with what our objective is as a church. Lots of churches find their identity in their pastor. Now, this is a struggle, especially like in our church where we have a very charismatic leader. But Tim does all he can to remind us that he is not the leader of the church. And I was reminded of this the first time I was sitting in a meeting with him, with the management team at staff retreat, and he hands out the org chart, the organizational chart for our staff. And let me show you a slide real quick of just the top of the organizational chart of Hill Country Bible Church. It says, Tim Hawks, elders, but ultimately who's at the top? Jesus Christ. Because what Tim's trying to communicate to us as a staff and to us as a church and to the elder board is that the identity of our church is wrapped up in who? Jesus. Jesus is the senior pastor of this church. He is the leader of this church. And we, including Tim, want all of us to follow Jesus. See, what happens when a corporate body finds their identity in their pastor and the pastor is not pointing to Jesus, then what happens? You get a misguided objective because everybody begins to follow what the pastor's pet project is. Maybe a corporate identity can be found in a specific ministry area. We have a great blank ministry, and so our identity is wrapped up in that ministry. Well, what happens when a church's identity is wrapped up in one ministry? Well, everybody gets focused and everybody's objective is to work in that ministry and serve that ministry and do that ministry. But that becomes a misguided objective. Again, the identity of us corporately, just like individually, has to be in Jesus Christ. What about if our identity is found in caring for one another? Now, none of these are bad things, are they? Having a great senior pastor is not a bad thing. Having great ministries is not a bad thing. Caring for each other is not a bad thing. But here's the point. When each one of those, when any of those becomes our identity, then our objective as a church will be misguided. You see, as long as we keep Jesus Christ as the center of our identity as a church, then we will stay busy working on Jesus' mission. And that's what we have to do. Our new purpose, just like Paul. Paul says this, to make known the mystery of the gospel. How radical of a change in purpose is this for Paul? Look at verse 6. He says the mystery that he's revealing, that his new purpose is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. Can you believe the one who was persecuting the church now says, my new purpose is to reveal the mystery that we are all one people in Jesus Christ? Paul's purpose has been radically changed. And my prayer for each one of us and us corporately is that our purpose is the same purpose that Jesus would have us working on. Let's keep going in verse 7. Paul says, this mystery of which I've been made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Paul says, second of all, my new position in Jesus Christ has transformed my performance in life, keeping me from the danger of legalistic practices. You see, the first part of the mystery that Paul's talking about, and he's talking specifically in verse 6, is that we have this new body, Jew and Gentile, put together. And that is a mystery. It's almost like today if we were to say that a Palestinian and an Israeli could come together and find this new identity in Jesus Christ as one people. It's that radical, two separate cultures brought together in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the second mystery here is that this identity is found by grace, not by works. And this is a profound mystery for each one of us. Paul says to him, the very least of the saints, I did not deserve this ministry, but God has given me this new position. And what have I done with this new position? What does he say? I was made a minister, verse 7. Verse 8, I began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse 9, to bring to light the administration of the mystery. Paul says his whole performance in life, what he is doing, has been changed by his position in Christ. He's been made a minister, called to preach. He writes the scripture. Most of our New Testament is written by Paul. All based on this new position that he has in Jesus Christ. Now, this is so significant for us as a church this morning. Paul is not saying this. He is not saying that he is doing these things to gain his position in Christ. He is saying that he is doing these things, preaching, revealing the mystery of God, doing all of this work because of his position in Jesus Christ. Now, we corporately and as individuals, we struggle with this because most of the way we live in our world today, position is based on performance, isn't it? If you do really well at work or you excel in your job, then you might get promoted to a new position. But position with God is different. And this is the mystery. It is based on grace alone, based on what God has done through Jesus Christ and not based on anything that we can do. And we struggle with this. And so what happens is we begin to create rules for ourselves to live by. And again, this is not necessarily bad. But our constant struggle is that we would put our performance in our lives so that we could gain position with God. Now, when this happens, you really struggle with legalistic practices. What you do is that much as the Pharisees did in Mark 7, they had created rules for themselves as a community, that they washed their hands before they were eating. Now what happens is you create rules around yourself so that you would stay holy, but then what you begin to do is you begin to judge everyone else based on your rules that you've created for yourself, right? And so what happens in that passage in Mark 7 is the Pharisees begin to look at Jesus' disciples and they ask Jesus, why don't they wash their hands, right? The problem is that we begin to judge others based on what rules we create for ourselves. Paul says that is all for nothing. Because what happens as you create these rules is you're trying to gain position with God based on what you can do. Every one of us struggles with this from time to time, don't we? We think if we miss a quiet time, we don't pray, we miss church on a Sunday, that suddenly our position with God is at risk. This performance mentality we struggle with every day. The point is this: you cannot work hard enough to gain your position with God. You can't do enough good things. You can't work enough great service projects in your lifetime to make God suddenly say, your position with me is secure. Our position is only found in Christ. But once our position we know is secure in Jesus Christ, it changes the way we live. We begin to live differently because of who we are in Christ, not in order to become something in Christ. And even though that sentence may sound, well, that's a minute difference, Keith, it is huge as it works itself out in our lives. I think our joy as Christians goes up tremendously when we realize that my position with Jesus Christ is not determined by how successful I am in living this out today. But my position is secure because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. And that frees me up to live for Him. How silly is it for us to think that we can gain position by performance? It would be kind of like, well, we just had the NBA Finals, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it kind of gets me a little choked up about my Mavericks just falling apart. But let's say LeBron James shows up. LeBron James, great basketball player, plays for a different team. Let's say that LeBron James shows up at the NBA Finals, and he says, guys, I'm ready to play. I mean, can this guy perform or what? Right? LeBron James could put on a show on the basketball court. But you know what they would do is they would look at him and say, hey, LeBron, you play for the wrong team. Your team is not in the finals, so you can't play in the finals. He says, but man, have you seen how many points I can score? Have you seen the way I can juke and dribble and just dunk the ball? Man, my performance is amazing. They say, LeBron, man, your position is not on the Mavericks or the Heat. You don't play for those two teams. It's that ridiculous for us to think that our performance could gain some type of position with God. And what Paul says is that we need to stay away from that. I told you the illustration about my son at the beginning. It would be kind of like this. Me walking down the hallway at church and seeing a small two-year-old getting sick, and running up and helping that two-year-old and thinking that that was going to make me their dad. Right? I mean, I'm performing. I'm serving that child. Does that make me their dad? No. See, position with God drives performance. It changes the way we live. Our new performance that Paul is talking about is the life of Jesus Christ lived out in me. That every one of us would be transformed and changed. Let's finish out reading verses 11 through 13. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. Paul finishes and says, my new position in Christ has also transformed my perspective on life, keeping me from the danger of a limited view. In other words, if we were to ask the question this morning, what's really important in life? Paul would say his new position in Jesus Christ has changed his perspective on what's important. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, through Jesus Christ, we now have access to the Father. This access that we bring, this ability to worship the Father is tremendous. And then he says this at the end. He says, don't lose heart because of my suffering and my trials that I'm going through. What's Paul talking about? Paul's saying this. If our identity is not in Jesus Christ, then when we go through hard times in this life, and we will, when we struggle, we will wonder, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Paul says, though, when your identity is found in Jesus Christ, it changes your perspective on life. I have a brand new perspective that the temporary suffering that I would go through is nothing compared to the eternal reward being with God in Jesus Christ. The point here is this. Paul's perspective has been changed. What's Paul's story? Paul's been beaten, stoned, embarrassed, shipwrecked, hated, imprisoned. What happens to Paul if his identity is not found in Jesus Christ? He begins to say, is this really worth it? Others' experiences were similar. Jesus' experience, the rest of the apostles, the early church fathers, most of the church today around the world. Paul says, my perspective's been changed, and I am willing to go through temporary hardship and suffering because of the eternal reward that I see at the end. What does that mean for us this morning? It means that when we have backyard Bible clubs in a couple weeks and you're wondering, you know, do I go down the street and knock on that door and talk to that neighbor because that makes me a little uncomfortable. It's a little embarrassing. It makes you say the perspective on this conversation has been changed. Because that neighbor, their eternity could be changed. Their eternity could be changed by Jesus Christ this summer if I am willing to say that my temporary uncomfortableness is less important than their eternal destiny. Again, all this based on Paul's new position in Jesus Christ. He says, my purpose in life's been changed. My performance in life, what I do has been changed. And my perspective on life has been changed. His whole life has been changed by his encounter with Jesus Christ. See, if we miss this corporate identity of Jesus Christ, not only do we struggle with legalism or finding our identity in a person, but we could get distracted by limited things. Limited causes. I've got buddies that serve on staff at other churches, and the identity of those churches is wrapped around a social cause. Now, being involved in social causes is not bad. But if the whole identity of your church is wrapped up in a social cause, then you're missing the eternal perspective that Paul wants us to see. If your corporate identity is found in political causes, say, our church, our identity is because we are wrapped around this political cause. Again, not bad to be involved in political causes, but if your identity is found in that political cause, Paul says this, your identity as an individual and our identity in church has to be found in Jesus. We will end up in the worst kind of hurt and in the wrong destination if our identity is not found in Jesus. Because when our identity is in Jesus, you began to ask this question: what does Jesus want for our church? What would Jesus have me do in ministry? How would Jesus have me love my family? How would Jesus have me love my neighborhood? What does Jesus want me to do? Because I live for Jesus. He is my identity. My prayer for us this morning is that your personal identity, our corporate identity, we all be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The danger that Paul says is that your identity would become wrapped up in some small issue compared to eternity and compared to Jesus. But if we don't keep Jesus at the center, then the other issues in life become large. My prayer for us this morning is that each one of us would not just talk a good game about identity. Any one of us in this room could say, yeah, my identity is found in Jesus Christ. But saying the words and seeing the life change are two different things. Are we experiencing the life-changing reality of who? Jesus Christ. Is our identity, is your identity wrapped up in him? Because when it is, Paul says in verse 12, then we celebrate our ability to come to God, to worship him. When we gather this morning, we celebrate the ability that we have access to God. And not only does our worship increase, but we get excited and fired up for the mission that Jesus has given us. If our identity is found in other places, then our mission will become lots of different things. I praise God, and the reason I'm here at Hill Country Bible Church, serving and wanting to plant a church with you guys, is because we have a mission that is founded on the person of Jesus. That we say, we believe Jesus has called us to reach the city of Austin with the gospel. And as much as each one of us finds our identity in Jesus Christ, then we will get busy working hard on that mission. We're going to celebrate Jesus this morning because our identity is found in nothing else but him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul sharing his personal experience that his life was changed by Jesus Christ, that our lives can be changed by Jesus as well, that the same Jesus who was alive 2,000 years ago is alive today, that Jesus is calling each one of us to put our full trust and faith in him, to find our identity individually and as a body in Jesus. Help us to celebrate that this morning and to be convicted to get busy working on the mission that Jesus has called us to. Thank you, Father, for all you taught us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.